This is Mary, who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. And you know how that is. That's kind of how we are. Now, in this particular case, we didn't have a whole lot of headroom to know. I mean, we did know that she had COVID. We know that, I don't even know yet in the context of this exactly how what it exactly was, what the symptom that took her out. I don't really know. But I do know, like they did, know that he was sick. Sometimes we do have a little space to know that he was sick. And they obviously were concerned because they said, they really thought that maybe, this could take Lazarus out. And verse 4 says, but when Jesus heard what they said what they said, Lazarus' sickness is not even unto death. He said, no, he was basically saying that Lazarus is not going to die. So in that context, of course, they were looking at his situation on earth and saying that his sickness could possibly bring death. And he said, no, he's not going to die. So it was interesting that he would look at it. They said, so what happened for? It said, no, it happened for the glory of God that the Son of Man would receive his glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for 2 days. Now, he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but he stayed where he was today. And finally, his disciples says, let's go back to Judea. So for 2 days, he stayed where he was. He didn't stop the work because of Lazarus' situation. He kept doing what he was doing in ministry. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is somebody that he loved very much. He loved him so much. But he said, he knew the end from the beginning. He knew what was about to happen from the beginning. So when disciples objected to Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the Judea would try to stone you. Are you going there again? He started talking about, what his own personal situation was going to be. And then, the disciples said, Lord, this is where it got kind of crazy, verse 11. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But now go and wake him up. So now he knew that Lazarus was sleeping. That's how he did it. And so the disciples said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. So they took him literally. They said, well, if he's asleep, he's going to get better. And then they thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant that Lazarus had died. Now, of course, it almost seemed like that Jesus contradicted himself. Because why would he say that Lazarus is not going to die? It's not a sickness unto death. But now he's saying that, when he's sleeping, let's go now, because he knew that. But actually he was saying that Lazarus had died. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He was clear. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. But now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. So of course, Thomas was there, and his fellow disciples said, let's go too. And that was Jesus, because, of course, they were concerned about Jesus' upcoming death also. So when Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. He was away for 2 days, so there were several days travel that it would take for Jesus to get to where Martha and those guys were. So he was already 2 days out, and then it says that by the time he got to the area, he said that Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. Now that's they didn't have the same kind of embalming process that we know of in that regard. So they obviously prepared his body for death. So Bethany was only a few miles away down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people who had come to console Martha and Mary for their loss. So again, people were grieving, people were upset, and they recognized that their brother had passed, so they were very, 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 very upset about losing Lazarus. They're very upset about losing Lazarus. So Martha got a word that Jesus was coming, and she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So now this is pretty aggressive. Now Martha, of course, the very nature of Martha, she was a worker. She was very, very practical. She was the one that when Jesus was there, of course, she did the work in the kitchen. She complained to Jesus that Martha's sitting right at your feet. And I mean, Mary's sitting around at your feet, but I'm sitting here in the work. Don't command her to come to me, help me. So Martha was very, very direct. She was very clear. So she came to Jesus and said, man, if you had been here, because I know you have the power. I've seen the miracles that you've done. In other words, if you had been here, you could see that Lazarus would not have been gone and taken away from us. That's basically what she was saying. She was questioning Jesus' decision, basically, to let Lazarus die. And it was legitimate because she was in her grief. And so he said, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus told her, say, your brother will rise again. Your brother's going to rise again. And so, yes, Martha said, yeah, he'll rise everyone, like everybody else in the last day. So she was, again, thinking again more than natural, and Jesus was dealing in the spiritual realm. And this whole lesson here is a spiritual lesson, even though we know the end of the story, of course, that he did bring Lazarus back to life. But of course, think about this. Even with that, at some point, Lazarus still went on to be with the Lord. Lazarus did die. So we're talking about the spiritual versus the natural. That's really the focus here. That what happens on earth versus as we go to be with the Lord, or the resurrection. And so this is what Jesus was teaching, which gets kind of interesting in it, because there's no way we can avoid looking at eternity. Eternity is so real. We're walking in eternity. We're in a life that goes beyond this life. We're in these earth suits that eventually all of us are going to pass away. Every last one of us are going to die, because these earth suits can't contain our spirit. These earth suits can't contain. So really, some of the testimony that we give about a person is gone, actually, her earth suit could not contain the power of God that was yearning to be with him. So we yearn and we moan. We yearn and moan for his glory. Sometimes you yearn and moan for something greater. And maybe that there was a yearning and a moaning that goes there. And so this is one of the situations in the case of Sister Linda Ward, Mrs. Ward. In this case, what makes this interesting, because we know clearly now when other people pass away and we're not surely questioning about their relationship with the Lord, sometimes that becomes difficult because we don't really know, are they with the Lord or not? We're not sure about their commitment. But when you do know, there's still something inside. They say, well, hold on, I don't think she would have. She would have chosen to go right now. I don't think that she would have had, maybe she didn't have things in order yet, or maybe she hadn't said goodbye, all that. But there's still something that the earth suit cannot contain, the power of God. Our earth suit cannot contain the glory of God. It's just like God just with Enoch, he says he said that he walked with God. You walk with God, and then he was just not. I mean, there's a relationship that you can have that you are with the Lord, and then bam, you're not. You're gone, and you're not. So there's something about life and death. The earth suit can only contain us, but so much. But the spiritual power within us has to go beyond this. And this is what actually this life lesson. That Jesus had was trying to teach them that there's a power in resurrection. There's a power that's here that goes beyond the earth suit. So here she came out, and so she was still dealing with this. And so she said, when they came to meet him, said, my brother, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And so that was really an accusation in terms of timing. In other words, you knew about it. You heard about it. We told you enough time. Why would you not have come and saved your friend, my brother? But even now, you know, I know you have the power now, but Jesus told her, this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He is the resurrection. He was not just, it's not just what I say, but it's also who I am. I represent the resurrection. I represent being raised from the dead. I represent life for eternity. Basically, he was saying, I am eternity right in front of you. What are you talking about? This thing of life and death, the power of life is so greater than death. The power of life is so greater than death. I'm life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I represent life. Life is so greater than death. So when we think about death, we are thinking in the natural because it's such a grief there. Martha was grieving. Martha didn't understand. Martha's like, man, you know, you get a power and you're free with them. We've eaten together. We've been there together. Jesus, why could you not have prevented this from happening? It's a question of timing. Sometimes we just don't know the timing. Sometimes we don't understand the timing. Sometimes we don't understand why would Jesus choose to do this. And so internally it kind of works us because, Lord, it doesn't, timing doesn't make sense. But what Jesus was reminding Martha, who was in the midst of her grieving, I am life. I'm life. In other words, I'm not going to conform to your timing. So all of us, and this is the crazy part, it could be a loved one, it could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be a children. Sometimes we say, it's not really fair for a child, for a mother, to have to bury her son. Why would that happen? Why would a child newly born pass away? There's so many questions that we have, legitimate questions that we have during a time as it relates to life and death. And many times, in this case, we don't have Jesus to go face-to-face like Martha. But Martha, she was dealing with this whole idea of death. And he said, man, well, I am life. So we do understand that in the context of death, death is such a natural thing related to our natural bodies. This earth suit that we have from the time we are born, it begins to decay. We get older. Now, we start looking older and better, and you think that you're, you know, on top of the world in your 20s, but before that, then they come the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, and things begin to happen to this body. And, Lord, by the time you get around your 50s and 60s and 70s, man, that earth suit begins to decline. But the earth suit can't contain the Spirit of God, the glory of God, and this is the beautiful part about it. When you do know the Lord, when you are on fire for the Lord, when you are an intercessor, when you believe in the prophetic word of God, when you're yielding to that, sometimes God may say the earth suit, the time for the earth suit is over. But I'm telling you right now, there's a Spirit of God that passes way past this earth suit. This earth suit can't contain us. Those of us that are still within the earth suit, the earth suit cannot contain the Spirit of God that's within us. This earth suit is going to pass away. But I'm telling you right now, what we have to keep sowing into, and we have to believe God for what God is doing for us spiritually every day. Because God does not ever tell us how long this earth suit will last. He doesn't tell that. Whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 1,000 years, people lived a lot longer way, you know, back during the early days. But he doesn't tell us how long the earth suit's going to last. Only thing he tells us that we are eternal and that we're going to live way past this. We're going to live way past this earth suit. So even though we grieve in the context of this, Jesus reminded her, listen, so I am the resurrection and life. So it doesn't matter what his earth suit condition is. The life who I am, the resurrection that I represent, this is no problem for me. And then, of course, then it goes on and says, the time went on, he says, and everyone who lives in me and believes will never die. Everyone that lives in me and believes in me will never die. In other words, again, I'm eternal. I mean, Tony, we had to remind her, which she didn't fully understand at that point because Jesus was still on this earth. But let me just say that we do know the end of the story. We know it. See, you never die. We died to this earth, which is a devastation to us. Let me just be real clear about it. That's a devastation. Just to hear it. Bishop called, before even Bishop Mason called to tell us, I was on the phone with Bishop Boone, and so he said, and I was talking, me and Bishop Nelson was sitting there and eating along with another gentleman. And so then Bishop says, you know, I just got a call from Bishop Mason. And he said, Linda Ward passed. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I was in like a state of shock to hear it. I mean, it's just like, whoa, what? And we just, you know, Pastor Dean, Bishop Dean, I just looked at each other like, I'm not hearing the right thing. So it does have a shock because you hear something, and I'm using this in a broader sense because all of us are going to face this. People, loved ones that are still yet to go. So we have to learn as much as we can learn, even in the midst of the grief. So from that point on, and by the time Bishop Mason called us at the airport about it, I mean, it's like you just really couldn't believe what you were hearing because we put everybody so prominently in their place on this earth that to take them out of the earth suit, for us, it's final. It's a final thing. We won't hear a voice. We won't see a smile. We won't hear a pray. We won't hear a intercede. That's so true. We will miss that. We will absolutely 100% miss that. But for her, the glory of the Lord visited her. Man, the glory. Can you imagine seeing Jesus in the face of Jesus when you've been praying and been an intercessor and you've been going before God and you've been confined by this earth suit and then there's a release? No COVID, no, nothing can withstand against that power. That's such a grace, that's such a power. Man, can you imagine what it must be like to leave this earth suit and see Jesus and go to the eternal glory? No. She's in eternal glory. Man, it may take us a while to get past missing the earth suit and being in spiritually in presence with her. But I'm telling you right now, the thing about it, man, Jesus is such a power in him, and he doesn't necessarily always prepare us. Sometimes his timing seems to be off. Jesus, why didn't you come back? You wasted two days, but then by the time he had another two-day travel, 4 days, you did this time. If you had been here, if you had changed your mind, you could have prevented this death. But he said, man, you realize who you're talking to? I am the resurrection. I am eternity facing you right now. And then, of course, it went on in a contest. Mary also heard that he was out there. And so she got up and she joined them, it says. And so, you know, she gets up, Mary went, and she immediately went to him. And Jesus was outside the village in the place where Martha met him. And when people who were at the host consoling Mary saw that Mary was getting up, they hastily assumed that she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. But so they followed her. And when Mary arrived, she saw Jesus. Now Mary was sensitive. Mary was a sensitive soul. Mary was so broken. She was at Jesus' feet. She wasn't like Martha. Martha was confrontational. Martha was like, Jesus, tell Mary, my sister, to come help me in the kitchen. So Mary was a sweet spirit. She honored the Lord. She'll wash his feet. She wanted to be there beside. I pray that we all have, you know, more Mary in us, because he seemed to affirm Mary more than he affirmed Martha. And even in this case, it seemed like he affirmed Mary's position at his feet. It really, no matter how many dishes we wash, or how many clothes we put in the washing machine, or how many times we prepare a meal, if you're going to choose the best part is at his feet. If we're going to choose the best part on this earth, the things that really matter, even though Jesus was hungry, somebody had to feed Jesus. Mary, Martha was doing what was needed. Because Jesus does get hungry. But if you're going to choose the better part, he said, don't rebuke, I'm not going to rebuke Mary because she's at my feet. She's at the feet. She was at the feet of the cross. She was at the feet of resurrection. She was at the feet of power. So what we emulate out of out of anybody else's death that comes. I remember being at Mother Tyndall's death. I mean, the home going, and people gave testimonies of what she did. A powerful woman of God. Her body could not contain the spiritual anointing that was in her. At some point, that body's going to fail you. At some point, all of us, the body's going to fail us. But that has nothing to do with the power of God that's released inside of us. So I remember that, because I remember seeing her. Let me talk about Mother Tyndall. I remember seeing her just a few weeks before that. I can't remember what it was, and she was there, and she was praying for people to release that anointing. Actually, while in that meeting, Bishop was there, we were there, some of the elders were there, and I remember some of y'all were there at Manna, and she was literally, I think, in a wheelchair or sitting, and she was praying over people there. That was a release. See, that legacy is so important. Man. Who has that baton? What is that legacy that you saw in Linda, what we see in us? Who will carry our legacy? Who are we speaking to? What is God doing that will go beyond us? So for those that stay on this earth, that we will follow in that suit, so while we confined to this earthly body, but we can still train others to live for eternity. We live for the resurrection. We're living for life because we've called into a supernatural life that goes way past this body that contains us, that's dying and decaying. So anyway, Mary went, and so Mary fell at his feet. Mary fell at his feet. That's what she said. But then she repeated the same thing that Martha did. She repeated the same words. She said the same thing. So when she got there, and they followed her, and Jesus, and they said, "Lord," this is what she said. And when Mary arrived, she saw Jesus, fell at his feet, and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, she said the same words that Martha, but it was a different spirit. She did not understand the timing. Sometimes Martha was confrontational. Martha had a different spirit. But Mary was sweet. Mary was innocent. Mary still had the same question. Sometimes we do have the grieving. Sometimes we do have the question, why now? Why me? Why my son? Why my husband? Why my time? Why this? Why would you take them away? You know how critical they are in my life. Why? Why would you do this? I mean, that's what basically she said, "Lord, if you could have prevented this." So she had the same grief as Martha, but she also in a different spirit. And so this is what he says. So Jesus saw her weeping and saw other people wailing with her. Deep anger welled up within him. Or it says that if you look at 33, it says Jesus started weeping, and he said he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He groaned in his spirit. I like that a little better. He groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And so then it says he said, "Well, where have you laid him?" In verse 34, and then verse 35 is interesting. Verse 35 says Jesus wept. Now, why would Jesus cry? Some people said, right, actually, in the scripture says, verse 36 says, when the Jews saw, behold, he loved him. And some of them else said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? So Jesus, why is he crying? Man, you could have made him live. In other words, the accusations were still there. Why are you crying? You had the ability to change it. But Jesus identified with Mary's grief. However, he was also burdened in his heart that they didn't have the revelation of the resurrection. They didn't see who he was. So in the scripture right here, they did not necessarily explain it. But in terms of what, but clearly it was after he saw that they were mourning, it grieved him. But then he wept himself, identifying with their grief, but also recognizing the fact that they didn't see the power of resurrection that was right before them. So then it goes on. I think that might be, some people say that's the shortest verse in the Bible. It probably is Jesus well. But many times we don't know. So again, I want to go back to this. Weeping may endure for a night, joy coming to the morning. God's going to bring us to a place where Well, it comes back to us. What do we do while we're on this earth? What do we impart? What legacy are we giving? How do we, in the midst of it, take up the baton? Whatever the void that Ms. Ward had, the Linda Ward, who's going to take that void and fill that void, even if just the natural, to help the family, help the church, with the intercessory void? And that's really what I'm getting to, that intercessory void. Who's going to take that intercessory void? Because we still need people like this on earth, that people that they look and they know you because of your prayer, or they know you because of your smile, or they know you because of the joy that you have. They know you because you're perfect. Those things. So these are the things that you carry on. So then, of course, he said, where's the move the grave, move the stone, take you to stone, and Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinks. It's been 4 days. By now, you tell Booper, move the stone, you do understand and that he's going to be stinking. And of course, Martha said that because she was in the natural. She was thinking in the natural, but she was facing. She was facing eternity in front of her. So then, and Jesus wasn't even dealing with that. He wasn't dealing with how this man would stink. So then Jesus said, I am not unto thee that is with you that will believe. In other words, if you read it out of and you live it, so Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Well, you're about to see the glory of God right now. Stop talking about if he died. You open your eyes so you can see. You're about to see the glory of God. So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked at the heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. And I said it out loud for all the sake of the people around who believe in me. So God was clearly saying that we got to see things not in the natural. Understand that even our words have power. Now, I was thinking about talking to you about words have power. I think it's 6 o'clock now. Our words do have power. The power of our words. You know, our words are spirit. Our words are supernatural. The words that you speak are life. They never die. They never go away. When you speak the words, they're spirit. And I want to just tell you the power of your words even there. So there are many people you're going to speak life to. There are many people you're going to speak joy to. There are many people you're going to conquer death. What I mean by that is that a person could be dying, but you can speak life to them, even in the natural. And this is what we're about to see. He spoke life over death, even in the natural. There are people that have not physically died yet, but they need to hear the voice of life from you. They need to hear the voice of life, the prophetic voice of regeneration. They need to hear the voice of eternity from us, because life is greater than death. And sometimes you recognize that people that are dying in themselves, they're dying in their footsteps, in their situations, they're dying in their frustrations, they're dying in their anxiety, they're dying in fear. They're dying. Man, goodness, good. They're dying for all manner of things. But you come and your words have so much power, and you speak life. Some people are physically ailments. Well, they don't have to put up with that. Let's pray that he gave life. Let's pray that God will heal the sick. And because he did, he opened the eyes of the blind. Now, many times that Jesus will say, you're topped up. You're not supposed to be blind. Lord, I speak life that his eyes will open up, or that you can't hear. Lord, give life. So life is way beyond death. Even if a person's time isn't up, we have the power of life to speak life, overcoming death. See, overcoming a frailty, overcoming an illness, overcoming sickness and disease. We have life that we can speak. And he said, man, y'all about to see the glory of God come, because they needed to see the power of life over death. That's what it was. It wasn't that Lazarus was going to live forever. It wasn't that. They just need to see the glory of God and the power that life has over death, which we all have in us right now. See, life is over death. That's why even after our body passes away, life is overcome because we don't die, because we're eternal beings. And he tried to keep reminding us that that's it. So then it says that then the Lord looked up the Heavenly Father, and he said it out loud, said to the people around him, so they would believe. And so these just shouted, "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth." And so the dead man came out. His hands and feet were bound in grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a head cloth. And Jesus told him, "Unwrap him, let him go." That's what he told him, "Loose him and let him go." See, that's folks around us that are walking around in grave clothes. Just make sure we aren't. When a person is bound by the enemy, and they're walking around in grave clothes, and sometimes it can be their own personal situations they give them, just their lack of security or the fear that has come around. Sometimes fear can be so compelling, it can isolate you so much that you can't do hardly anything because of fear. But these are grave clothes. There are things sometimes that we're moved by ailments and illnesses or depression or things that we just can't figure out. We have, man, I don't have the money, spirit of poverty on us. And so we're so bound in the circumstances of life that even sometimes we wrap ourselves in grave clothes. But there's a life that God has given us. There's a beauty. There's a power that God's given us. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." The power of God, the power of life, brought Lazarus, which was temporary, brought him from the what would be 4 days of stinking in a grave. He brought life to Lazarus to come forth. And out of that, the grave clothes, and I get the grave clothes off of him because he's not free. See, sometimes we can be the walking dead. And what do I mean by that? We can walk around, but we're just as dead as a doorknob. In other words, if we don't have life, he says, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." He's the one that fills every void. He's the one that gives us purpose for living. He's the one that gives us breath in our body. We can't even make us breathe one more day. So he said, man. He said, get those grave clothes off of him. In other words, don't remind yourself of the end. Remind himself of who I am. And so, of course, he said, get those grave clothes off and loose him. Loose him and let him go. When the devil comes against people, sometimes it can be a demonic intervention. Sometimes the devil will come against you all manner of ways. He can come against you in your family, come against you in your money, come against you in prosperity. He can come against you in so many different ways. But you got to speak to that devil and say, "Loose him and let him go." He spoke life in the midst of darkness. He spoke life over death. And now, so even though Lazarus was alive, he said, "Take the grave clothes off that's hindering him, that keeps him bound to the former, to who the Son sets free is free indeed." All of us have to walk in a level of freedom. We cannot let the devil put grave clothes on us while we're living. We got to walk in freedom, walk in power, walk in deliverance. We will walk in it. That's what we're called to do while we're on this earth. And of course, at that point, they did that. And they come out. He came out, unwrap him, let him go. And of course, people recognize it. This is where I'm gonna stop. And in this, of course, they don't even end up telling you, okay, well, Lazarus only lived this much about this time. It wasn't even important. The man died the next day. It wasn't important. He wanted them to see that life always conquers death. Like a lot of times he said, "Death, where is your sting? Where is your sting?" Because the victory of the cross is so far above the earthly death that it takes the sting away. Death, where is your sting? Death to the body, there ain't no sting when you're focusing on eternity. Man, anybody that passes that knows the Lord, man, I'm telling you right now, they don't want to come back to that body. Whatever that COVID did or whatever happened to their body, let me tell you something, they don't want to come back. they love that. I mean, I'm sure, man, you love your loved ones and you don't want to see them weave it. I don't know if the Lord allows you to see it after you go. I don't know. But I tell you what, when a person gets free from this body, oh my God, and why would I want to come back to that? I'm serious. No, there's no choice. Paul said, I'm between two. I wanna serve you for the length of time I'm to serve you. But I tell you what, man, to die in this life is to be present with the Lord. I'd rather leave here to be in His presence. Goodness gracious! Little one knows something right now we haven't seen yet. The glory of God at a level that we haven't seen. We might get glimpses sometimes, but the glory. The glory of the Lord, my God. That's why we say we rejoice in a homegoing, or we try to change it around, try to bring our grief into joy, because if we could just sense a glimpse of the glory of God, just a glimpse, powerful, powerful glory. That's what Jesus was doing. He said, I'm right before you. The glimpse of the glory is alive right in your face. The glimpse of the glory. He said, you got to see this glory because life always conquers death. Life conquers death this time too. And her pastor, anybody else passing that knows the Lord, life conquered death because life is always existing. We're always alive. Eternal life with Him. There is no comparison. There is no comparison to what we are tied up here. And the comparison of life, the life that's within us, that one day will be with the Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for just your goodness and your power. Lord, the word of God is true. It's a powerful word, your powerful word that you've given us here in John 11. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the resurrection and the life. And Lord, we recognize, Father, that we are eternal beings. Lord, what I pray, that our prayer really should all be that at some point, Lord, that you would call us to glory because of the power that's within us, the supernatural grace that's within us. Our earth suit can't contain it anymore. That we have to break out. Our earth suit is dying, but the Spirit of God is increasing within us. It's too much life. It's too much life within us. That our bodies can't contain the life that's within us. Bodies just can't contain it. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you promote it. You promote it. You promote it, Mrs. Ward. You promote it, Sister Ward. You promote it, Linda Ward. Even with the grief that our family may feel and are missing, but thank you for that promotion. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for all of us, even a grief that our family would feel, even a grief that we have. But, Lord, thank you that we'll stay on track and stay focused and stay connected, that we would just be not. We're here, but we're gone to glory. And I thank you, Father, that death wears your sting because the victory of Christ, the blood of Christ, the power of Christ is way beyond what anything on this earth could contain. So bless you for that. I pray for her husband Jesse, her daughters, her family, her church family, all of us that will miss the power of God within our life. But Lord, thank you also for reminding us of the glory of God, the life of God, the eternal life that we have, that we all seek for. Lord, we're jealous to some degree because, man, that glory to be in your face. Oh, my God, what that must be. The glory to see your face. Lord, we bless you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You there, Pastor Hunt?
I had myself on mute.
Oh, okay.
Also, we want to pray for, we just got a request to also pray for Dallas. Reverend Brown's husband is still in the hospital. So, Father, we just pray now, oh God, for just the strength of Reverend Brown, oh God, and we pray over her husband Dallas right now in Jesus' name, oh God. And Father, we say restore, oh Father. We come against any mini strokes, oh God, and his cognitive memory, Lord. We pray, God, that you would restore everything that the enemy is trying to steal from him now, oh God. Lord, you created that body, and Lord, you can recreate that body, oh God, and all the things, Lord God, that he's lost during those strokes, oh God. So, Father, we pray right now, we plead the blood of the Lamb over him, that restoration will come, oh God, to his mind and to his body. Lord, we thank you, God, that all blood vessels, Lord, are open and running perfectly fine, oh God, and that his body, Lord, is working in the perfect order that you called it to work, Lord. And we say, Dallas, rise up off of that bed in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we pray in agreement, go God, that you would do a creative miracle now, oh Father. And we thank you for it, Lord. We're believing to see, oh God, your glory in him. And Lord, we pray for his family, for Reverend Brown, oh God, Lord, that they would continue to stand strong, Lord, and pray, which I know, talking about a intercessor and a strong woman of God, Lord, I know she's holding the line, oh God. So Father, we thank you for her, Lord, and we surround her, Lord, with our prayers, oh God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's continue to keep up Reverend Brown and also keep up the Ward family. Thank you, Kingmakers. We'll see you guys on next week. Share the gospel this week. And let's continue to pray for our loved ones. Amen. God bless.